Good morning, good morning. Hey, dog, doing today? Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we get to look some more into your word, Lord, that you can show us something that we can help us with our lives and get to know you even better. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, today Jesus is going to talk about John the Baptist a little bit. And try to show some new and interesting things about it that I discovered and that we can share. And so let's get into it. Kind of went back to my old configuration a little bit to help with the verses. I have the double verses going again. I find that a little easier than going back and forth. I have the main verses along with the supplemental ones. Only because I don't have a picture either for this particular part. When we get back into the later part of chapter 7, we got some paintings, but I won't necessarily have those up except to show you. And then I still have that slide available too for use. Can flip back and forth. So we're in Luke chapter 17, I'm going to go through 29 today. It's not all what's talked about John the Baptist, but it's a good portion of it, and then we'll carry the rest on tomorrow. So I'll start reading here in verse 17. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region around about. Now, this is ending off from yesterday. Remember, we talked about that Jesus had rose from the dead, that the young man that died from the during the funeral there in Nile, and it finishes off that portion by saying, and this rumor of him, of all these miracles, went forth throughout all of Judea and the region thereabout. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And I gotta fix something real quick. And John calling unto him two of his, did I read 18, by the way? And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And this part here, we're just basically transitioning from when, I think there's a little bit of a, when you kind of look at these verses, it says, and the rumor went throughout all of Judea and throughout all the region, that some of John's disciples were now wondering if this is the person that John kept talking about. I personally believe that John the Baptist knew exactly who Jesus was. I have a feeling that they grew up together, and but for the sake of the ministry, may not have made known to a lot of people that. Because remember, going all the way back to when they first met, when their moms were pregnant with them, Mary with Jesus, and then Elizabeth with Joseph, I mean with John, that. They met there when John was about 6 months, when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, and Jesus was just a very just barely being conceived. And so I can see that there's a good possibility, since they were cousins, that even though they lived apart, now of course Jesus had to go to Egypt for a while, and then he came back to Nazareth. And that maybe they didn't see him very, very often, because John lived south of Jerusalem somewhere with his father Zacharias, being he worked at the temple. He was a priest. Also, it doesn't mention exactly how long Elizabeth and Zacharias lived either. And so we don't know. I have a lot of backstory with either John or Jesus as to what it was like from like 18 years old to about 30 when this whole ministry started. So there's a chance that they knew each other. Maybe they didn't grow up together. But that I can see little hints that there was a chance that that John the Baptist did not need this information, that he was doing it more for the disciples than it was for himself. So let's continue on. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? There's actually some commentaries that suggest that it wasn't so much that John knew what Jesus was, as I said, but it was more to confirm for his disciples. I might want to bring into Matthew. We also see this in Matthew 11, 2 through 19. I'm only going to read certain parts of Matthew, only some things that add some additional information. In Matthew 11, 2, we see a similar verse. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. So we can see that John was actually in prison at this particular time that this was happening. That was that whole scenario with Herod. And I think, too, that some things I'm going to show you today, it kind of leads to the saying that that Jesus is going to make about John the Baptist here in a minute. But also in Luke 1:39, through 42. I just wanted to mention these. This is when I was just mentioning Elizabeth and Jesus met, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and into the city of Judea and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now, this is all information that Luke found out much later, so I'm not sure how much the disciples knew about this particular information. But I can also imagine that during the time that John was growing up with Zacharias and Elizabeth, that they may have divulged things to John for him to also know. But of course, we don't have a lot of information on that either. I think the confirming one for me is over in John. Even though John says, even though John the Baptist, this is John the Gospel, but even though John the Baptist says that he didn't know him, I suspect he did, just based on this verse. Because if Jesus was coming to get baptized, John made a statement that John here records. In verse 28 through 30, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. How did he know that? Just by looking at him. It makes me a little curious. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, in the same passage, John goes on to say that he didn't know him. Next verse, verse 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. But that part there happened after he was baptized, not before. And then verse 33, And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on in 34 to say that, And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So I find it interesting that John didn't seem to indicate there that he didn't necessarily know Jesus personally, but that it was because of this incident with the dove. But I question whether or not when John first saw Jesus that he knew exactly who he was. So it puts a question mark in my mind, but that's okay. I always find these little tidbits to try to dig into and figure things out. But moving on to verse 7:20 in Luke. When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look for, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, this is Jesus speaking, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. I think that's an important aspect there, is that he showed them right there in front of them what to look for. But as we see here, I'm going to read some verses out of Isaiah mostly that talk about the evidence of Jesus and what he will do when he comes. And that the fact that he's doing these things in front of John the Baptist is confirmation of these prophecies. So Isaiah, it's all through Isaiah. I'm going to read a few. Starting in Isaiah 29, 18 and 19. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see. Yeah, the cough ain't going yet. Working on it. The blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Okay, jumping down to chapter 32, verse 3 and 4, or 3 through 6, I should say. And the eyes of them that shall see not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. And the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as the hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And so I think these are all prophecies of John, that his future day of coming. And that Jesus is using this as a great lesson for his own disciples to know that John the Baptist and who he is and what he came for. Continuing in Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant for the people, for the light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Jumping down to verse 16. I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. And these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. That's one thing you'll notice in the testimony of John the Baptist, is that he was supposed to be the make the path straight for the Lord. These are all little hints. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. So Jesus here is tying the two together for these disciples to realize that these Old Testament prophecies are being fulfilled through him. And that John the Baptist was the one that was going to be the lead in that. This is also a little bit of a benefit for those disciples of John Baptist also. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This is that famous verse that Jesus recites. And he stops at a comma. And I'll stop also there. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where he stopped. The rest of that hasn't happened yet. That'll happen in the future. Jumping to Jeremiah 31:8 also. Behold, I'll bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the women with a child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. We've already commented on the fact that that crowds were already starting to come to Jesus from the seacoast all around Galilee. This is all prophesied by Isaiah and Jeremiah. Okay, on to verse 23. And the blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. Now he waited for now, he spoke this whole thing for those disciples, and you can see that they now see the tie-in between John the Baptist and Jesus. And I think that's something that may have been almost pre-arranged through the prophecies for that to happen, but to make sure that all the that more people knew than anyone who knew John, was a disciple of John the Baptist, and that was quite a few. You even run into him in Acts. There was a couple that when Paul was preaching up in the area in there in Turkey near Ephesus in that general area, that this couple had helped explain to a another follower of John the Baptist that Jesus, because somehow he had learned about John the Baptist prior to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and his name was Apollos, and that he was taking the gospel message to the I believe it was the Greek, Greece area, and that this couple that Jesus, that Paul had witnessed to, helped him to understand that Jesus did come and that he's the one that should be preached. And they explained it to him that Jesus was now here and died for their sins so that he can continue that mission. That's an example of one of the disciples of John the Baptist that had not known about Jesus yet. So I can see a reason why they wanted to tie the two together, particularly in the eyes of the disciples, John's disciples' eyes. And the most famous one that we know of is became one of Jesus' disciples is Andrew. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. So continuing on in Luke 7:25. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live deliciously are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is what I want to get in a little bit for the rest of the study. Verse 27. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Now again, remember, we're talking about Jesus, the one talking here. So based on this verse here, I want to some other verses that correlate with this. Going all the way back to Luke, and the whole reason that John the Baptist was sent. So I thought I would just review that a little bit. Over in Luke 1:5, chapter 1:15 through 17. This is the original thing told to Zacharias about John the Baptist. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. This is John the Baptist we're talking about here, that the angel told Zacharias. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So that was John's mission right from the get-go. And that and he and how much he knew about this mission ahead of time? Chance that maybe Zacharias shared it with his son, not sure. Doesn't really say anywhere in the Bible. There is one passage that mentions the fact that John the Baptist was informed about this, that what his mission was going to be. At some point, it doesn't say who or what told him. It just said that he was told. So it could have been by his father. It could have been by an angel or by Jesus. Who knows? So continuing with this, in Luke 1:76 also, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt be go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." It also says here, "And that child shall be called the prophet of the highest." So they're identifying John as being a prophet here. Jesus also identifies him as a prophet here, coming up shortly. Also Isaiah 40, verse 3. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, preparing ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This is another prophecy fulfilled by John the Baptist. It's probably the most famous one that everyone talks about. Jumping to Malachi, a couple of verses there. Chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant which he delighteth in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Malachi 4, 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." A lot of controversy over these kind of verses, because John the Baptist himself said that he was not Elijah. But a lot of people see that that he came in the spirit of Elijah. And this verse here may be a prophecy more of who one of the two witnesses may be in the tribulation. Because even to this day, a Jewish people on certain festivals will set an extra plate at the table for the return of Elijah, to be ready for him when he returns. And so they're still looking for him. Okay, and also in John 1, verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Elijah." You see Elijah spelled a couple of different ways, depending on who's writing it. That's why I'm trying to use the same name all the way through, but that's what I'm talking about. Okay, verse 28. Of Luke. "For I say unto you, among those that are born," now this is Jesus speaking again, back to Luke chapter 7, verse 28. "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Okay? Notice that. But he says, "But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Well, this particular verse has drawn a lot of controversy. How can John be the greatest, but any one of us could be better than him? And I think that's an important note, that this is the point in time when the Old Testament finally ends and the New Testament begins, or the age of the church, as I like to put it. It's not the age of grace. I remember growing up, everybody used to say the age of grace. And I said, well, actually, no, because even Noah was saved by grace. None of us are saved by our own works, but those different dispensations, it is a dispensational change. And so we're going from the Old Testament prophets who are bringing the word of the Lord to a new age where we're all going to be bringing the new word of the Bible to the populace. And the other thing you got to realize is that Jesus at this point probably knows that John the Baptist is not going to live very much longer. He's going to get beheaded, as we know, in a few chapters. We'll talk about that when we get there. But it really affects Jesus, I think, pretty badly. It almost seems like the Holy Spirit in this case is actually helping Jesus through that period. Because Jesus as a man did have emotions, and I think that he was very, very close to John, and that one hit him hard. We'll kind of touch on that when we get to this in chapter, I want to say 9. somewhere in that range. But we'll talk about that then. So what else I wanted to say about this? So this is the last prophet. John is the last of the prophets. And that Jesus, that's what Jesus is pointing out. But that after this point, Jesus is going to go through death, burial, and resurrection. So anyone that's following him now, including the disciples, the 12 disciples he chooses, and anyone who follows Jesus now becomes part of the new dispensation. The dispensation of the fact that what Jesus came for was to die for our sins, to be perfect sacrifice. And that anyone after that point is now free from sin, and all you have to do is look to the Lord. And no longer you have to live in your sin and die in your sin. And so that's the so that's what God, what Jesus is saying here. But he that is least in the kingdom of God, and that kingdom of God, I think here is talking about the church kingdom, is greater than he. So anyone that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal savior at this point, going forward, is going to be part of the kingdom of God, and it will include the Old Testament saints, but they'll have a different role. They won't be. And so Jesus is kind of giving a hint here, a little hint here of the church. I can see that. But no worries, I guarantee you we're going to meet John the Baptist. I have no doubt about that in my life. So a few verses on this subject over in Luke 1:15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. I threw that in there again. I'm not sure why. But also I mentioned Matthew 11. This is where Jesus says it again in Matthew, but it adds a little bit more information. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This is Jesus still speaking. And for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So Jesus here is confirming through Matthew that John was the last of the prophets. Jumping down to Matthew 13:16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And also verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. I tell you, the times we are living in, we are seeing things that many, many, many generations wanted to see, and coming to fruition. So it's really exciting times that it seems like that this age of this dispensation is getting ready for another major one when we move into the tribulation period. That we will go and meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. And so looking forward to that day also. To finish up today, I'm going to stop here at verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. So I think that's basically saying there is that anyone who had already been baptized by John now stood what John was talking about. And that they see Jesus for who he truly is. I love how many times Jesus actually mentions the fact that with the publicans, that's the tax collectors, probably the lowest life of most Jews in that time frame thought of the publicans as being the lowest of the low. They were like traitors, and they were not well responded to by the general population. So Jesus kind of picks on that to say that no matter what your sin is, you can come and be one of my followers. So that's all I'm going to leave today, and we'll continue on tomorrow. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, thank you so much for the insight your Holy Spirit gives us to help us to understand these words, and that you continue to show us new and exciting things in your word, Lord. And and I may be true to your word and not speculate too much, Lord. Keep me in check. I love to try to think about all these little tidbits of information and what you might have been trying to allude to. Help me, Lord, to always stay on track. And we give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. And you all have a great day.